Hey, what are we studying?
The family plan.
We only have 2 weeks left, tonight and next week, and the family plan is done, and we move on to something else. I know. Sad, right? So, So what have we learned of the family plan? And there's a, are you guys like, I feel like I'm on a cruise. Everybody's eating nonstop, all sorts of stuff. Look at all this. Wow. No, you can eat. That's fine. I'm just saying I'm jealous because there's lots of food out there. Yeah. Yes, our relationship with God, we studied that. That's the most important thing, right? Number one.
Something about
relationship with spouses. I don't know. Yeah. We've almost. Next week, we're going to look at marriage. You're right. Next week, that's kind of like the culmination. We looked at purity and modesty. Yep. What else? Peer pressure. Yeah, we looked at friendships, right? And what kind of friends should we be seeking? Define that, Becca. You were going to say what he was going to say. Yeah, friends that do what? What's a good friend then? Yeah, and pushes you to be more like Jesus, right? Not friends that are going to drag you down and tempt you to sin, but friends that are going to push you up and ask you and help you be more like Christ. So what kind of friend should you be? The good friend, right? The one that's pushing people to be more like Jesus. Absolutely. What about our family? We study family. What do we say about families? They just feed you, send you to school, and then you're done? That's it?
Yeah.
That's their whole job. Buy me stuff, Mom. That's all you're supposed to do. No! You're wearing your glasses. All right, so what then did we actually study about our families? What did we learn? Yes, it's your responsibility to take care of your family. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're 90,000 years old or if you're just in junior high. It's still your job to love and care for your family. That's your first responsibility in relationships. Isn't that cool? What else about family did we learn? What are we supposed to do with mom and dad? Obey and honor and respect them. Absolutely. Show them what they're worth by the way you act toward them. Awesome. So we learned all these really cool things. We looked at friends for a long time. We've been talking about dating, and we've gotten some really practical good tips on dating from videos and special speakers. And last week we talked. And now tonight, I promised you last week, we'd look at wisdom. Wisdom in dating, and how important is God's wisdom in your dating? Have you ever thought of that? Like when you think about like, ooh, I'm going to go date somebody. And you're like, first thing I need is God's wisdom. Right? That's the first thing you guys think of. No, you don't. You probably don't. Because most of us don't think that right away. We just think, is she pretty? Or is he handsome? Or whatever goes through your little checklist of people as you're looking for someone to date. And really what we should be doing is the very first thing. What does God have to say about this? As I look forward to dating someone, what does God have to say about this? So tonight we're going to look at how important is God's wisdom in our dating relationships. All right, so we got a few verses tonight. First, I want you to look at Proverbs 3:13. You guys ready to turn to a couple verses tonight? Or click, or whatever you're doing? Proverbs 3:13. It says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding." Does anyone know, how else could we say the word blessing? Does anyone have a different translation maybe that has a different word for that blessed word up there? Anybody? If you look it up, you'll also find the word happy. Happy is the one who finds wisdom. Joyful. The fact that your life, you're content and fulfilled because you find wisdom. Do you know that wisdom is what makes you blessed? Wisdom? How many of you guys have wisdom? Can you consider yourself wise? Any of you, like you're wise? Or do you have to be like old and like, you know, like the white wizard to be able to be wise? Like, what does it take to be wise or to get wisdom? Any ideas? Think about it for a second. How do you get wise? Yeah. Through Jesus. Oh, she's cut right to the chase, man. Boom, right there. Yes, it is through Jesus. Now this says, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." So what that tells us is wisdom's really important. If you want your life to be successful, if you want to be able to be happy, if you want one day to be able to look up and go, I am truly blessed in my life. I didn't just like turn and make this huge mess of myself when by the time I'm 50 or 60 and I look back and I ruined my whole life. But you want to be able to get to the end of your life and look back and go, man, I'm so blessed. It takes wisdom to get there. It's the key ingredient. And so we're talking about your whole life, but tonight we're just talking about a little part of that. We're just talking about relationships, right? And so wisdom is super important. If it's that important in our whole lives, think about the choices you make as you date people. Think about the choices you make as you choose friends or interact with your family or choose a spouse. How important are those things, and how important is it for you to have wisdom as you make those choices so that one day you get to look back and go, wow, like God really blessed my life. So wisdom's important, but we got to ask the question, how do you get it? How do you get wisdom? Psalm 32, 8. Pop open there real quick. It's one book back. Psalm 32, 8. It says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So here's God going, hey, you want to be wise? I'm going to teach you how. I'm going to like not just teach you, but I'm going to instruct you and teach you in the way that you should specifically go. And I will counsel you with what? What does that say? With my what? Eye upon you. What does that mean? Like throw my eye at you. What does that mean? Yeah, I'm going to constantly be watching you and involved in your life. God's not just up there going, yeah, go figure it out. You might want to read the Bible at some point, and I've wrote some good stuff in there, and if you figure it out, cool. God's going, I want you to be wise and have wisdom because I want your life to be blessed. But I'm not going to just leave you on your own. I'm going to teach you personally and instruct you and counsel you, and I'm going to be with you watching you the whole way. So if you want to be wise, what should you do? Ask God. You ask God for wisdom because he's already willing and wanting to teach it to you. Say, God, make me wise. Does anyone know the guy in the Bible who asked for that? God said, you can have anything you want. What did he ask for? Who was it? Solomon. He said, make me wise. I want wisdom. And God gave it to him. Now listen. Okay, so we know God wants us to be wise. He's the giver of it. So let's look at wisdom for a second, okay? So here's the big chunk of where we're going to kind of camp out tonight. Matthew chapter 7. You won't have to turn for a while after this. Just get to Matthew 7 and start in verse 24. You guys probably have heard this. You probably sang a song maybe like in elementary school when you're in like children's church. You sang a song that had to do with this and had hand motions and the whole deal. We're not going to sing it tonight because Manny already walked out the back. But maybe we can sing it next week if you ask Manny nicely. Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. Ready? I'm going to read it. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Uh-oh. Yeah, you get it? You know the song? Some of you are like, yeah, okay. No? Somebody sing it, quick. What song am I talking about? Emily, do it. Oh, Emmy, do it. You're going to do this because you're building, right, on the rock. Well, how do you do rock? Rock like that? Yeah. All right, well, you can at least do the hand motions. And then, like, and the house on the rock stood firm, right? And then what else happened after that? There's a foolish dude on the sand. Yeah, and then it went tumbling down or something like that. Crash, and everybody yells, and then the house like breaks and crumbles. And it's bad because he built his house on sand. Well, let's read. That's the song that goes with this. Verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But look what happened. But it did not fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. Its foundation, where it was built, was on solid rock. Verse 26 says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. You hear them, but you don't do them. They will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And look what happens. This one doesn't stand. It says, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It didn't just fall a little bit. It didn't just like creak a little. The thing smashed down and crumbled into nothing. So as we look at this, we can see something. God's definition of wisdom. You know this wisdom we're talking about having in our lives so we can look back and go, man, I want to get to the end of this thing and be able to say, I was blessed. I want to have that wisdom. Well, God tells us how. He says, ask me and do what I say. Look at that first part. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them. Well, that's the key, right? Because a lot of us come to Firehouse. You're here right now. I can see your face. You're sitting here. And we talk each Wednesday night about wisdom, about truth in the Bible. We've talked about all sorts of different relationships and God's wisdom and how we should act in those things. Well, here's a question. After we learned about family, how many of you went home and you changed? Something changed inside of you in the way you acted with your family. How about when we studied friendship? You went home and you said, listen, I was serious about hearing those words and not just hearing what you said and what God said in the word, Rob, but I went home and I looked at my friends and said, some of these friends just don't cut it. They're not good influences on me. So you actually made a change in your life. And some of you might have got rid of some friends. And some of you might have had good talks with some friends about some truth they needed to hear. But most of us probably left and did what a lot of us, myself included, do. We acted like this guy here. We left and we heard, but we did nothing. And you come back the next week and you hear some more and you leave and you're like, I heard God's truth and I heard his wisdom, but I'm not going to do anything about it. You see, what this says is that if you want true wisdom, you don't just hear the words. There's an action verb there. You see it? The word does, and does them. You don't just hear God's words, you do God's words. You think about the design that he has for relationships. And you say, you know, I know how you want me to act in my family. How you want me to respect my parents and honor them. So I'm going to go home and I'm literally going to do that, God, because I heard your words and now I want to do them. And when I think about dating or how I treat girls or girls, how you treat guys or how you let guys treat you, I'm going to go home and I'm going to be different because God said to. I'm not going to just hear his words and be like, yeah, big deal. I'm going to go home and actually do something about it because we're called to. As a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're sitting here tonight, you're like, Rob, I do believe in Jesus. He saved me. You are not just told to, you're called to hear God's words and really do something about it. Not just go, well, you know what? It's easier to do it this way, God. So thank you so much for telling me. Thank you. But I'm cool how I am, God. Or this is a lot more fun, so I'm just going to kind of keep doing this for a while. I'm still young, so I can pull it off for a while. Later on, when I become an adult, you know, and people are expecting more of me, then I'll start to really do the things you're saying. Right now, I'm just going to hear it. Nobody expects me to be different than I am. I'm a kid. But God says, I expect you to. I've saved you so that you can then not just hear my truth, but actually do it and act upon it. And when you act upon the knowledge you hear, guess what that's called? Starts with a W. Wisdom. You see, it's not wisdom if you're just hearing it. It's just knowledge. Okay, cool. That checks out in my head. I get it. I understand, but I'm still doing nothing. That's not wisdom. God, I understand it. Now I'm going to actually go do something. That's wisdom. It just became wisdom in your life. So, if you do nothing about it, it's just noise. It's just a bunch of words we talked about, some stories you heard, and it didn't make any changes in you. So he says, though, if you do, though, if you hear it and you do something, you'll be like a wise man. Not just be a wise man, you'll be like this particular wise man that he's talking about right here. Let's see who this wise man he's talking about is that we'll be like. He says, who built his house on the rock. You know, why would it be important to build your house on rock? Any ideas? It's more stable ground. Yeah, it's an awesome foundation. I'm going to show you real quick so you can kind of picture what this passage is talking about. If you'll show that video for me real quick so that you can see what it looks like.
This woman has been forced to seek refuge on top of her trailer. The farmer was on a routine trip to sell watermelons when a fast-flowing river caught her unawares in Shandong province. Chinese firefighters managed to get her a life jacket and then, when they were safely attached and held, pulled her from the fruit carrier. After disappearing under for a few seconds, she was eventually dragged to safety. Her rescuer shouting for more support. China has been suffering from torrential rains for days, the force of nature ferocious and unstoppable. In Sichuan province, buildings succumb to the elements. This man told State TV many people left a four-story building in the path of raging floodwater. The next morning, buildings had collapsed. A worker had been on the roof of one of them and was swept away. Another four are also missing, while the overall death toll has climbed beyond 200. More of this is set to come as China braces itself for Typhoon Sulik, set to hit land on Saturday. This woman has been forced to seek refuge on top of her trailer.
I think that's it. Now notice, listen to the words of this passage and see how it lines up with what we just saw on the video. He built his house on rock, but look, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Now, in my mind, I'm picturing exactly the same picture up here. Do you see the water, how it was raging like a river in the middle of streets? Like, that wasn't a river. Those were streets going right by in front of your house, and it's over your head, and people are getting swept away. 200 people were dying in this little teeny village. It's probably the majority of the village, all right? You see how the buildings crumbled like it was just nothing? This water is powerful, and what it's saying here is that our life can be compared to something like that. Because the buildings that are built on sand, when that water comes and the rain falls and the winds blow, your life is like that building and it's being shook. And the waters are coming and washing up underneath your life, trying to wash away your entire life. You know what the water is? You know what the rains are? You know what that wind is that's beating you? It could be sin. It could be temptation, you're right. It could just be hard times or a broken heart. It could be the difficult things that all of us face. Now, here's the thing about this story is that the guy who built his house on the rock had the same exact water fall on him than the guy who built the house on the sand. The same wind came and beat on his house. The same hard times came, the same attacks from Satan, the same temptations. It didn't matter if you were good or bad. Life and this broken universe that we live in bring the same pain and the same broken sin toward our door. The question then is that if we're all going to be hit by the same thing, how are you building your life? Well, we know that relationships are the building blocks of our life, right? Well, we've already said that. We said the whole Bible revolves around relationships. So as we invest in relationships, we're literally taking blocks of our lives and we're putting them down one at a time, and we're either putting them on sand or we're over here putting them on rock. And as we look at that video, which building will your life be? Is it going to crumble because you've been building it on sand and nothing permanent? Or will you be looking at truth and hearing it and actually doing it? Because what happens is either way, you're making a choice. Even if you don't make a choice, you're making a choice. As you take and make a decision that's not founded in what God would have for your life, you're taking this crumbled, cracked block and you're setting it down on this sandy foundation. And you might think, well, you know what? It's just one. It's just one choice. Just one decision in the grand scheme of my entire life. Like, how much difference will that one little block make? Until you start to mound more blocks on top of it, and the weight becomes more and more, and it's all setting on this one cracked block that eventually, like those buildings, will break and give way. And guess what happens with all the other blocks? They come tumbling down on it. So that one little decision you make affected your entire building, your whole life. And so as you're looking at decisions and you're looking at wisdom and relationships, it's essential that you're going to God saying, Lord, help me take these blocks of my life and make right decisions in my relationships so that I can come over here on the solid ground, which is your wisdom, and not just here, but I can really do something about this. And I can stack these blocks up in a way where they're going to stand. Even when the rain comes and the waters flow by and the wind beats on my building and my life, I'm going to be able to stand through this because I built it on your wisdom and your truth. And God, I know that you, being the creator of everything, who drew the blueprints of life, you designed it all. You know what's best because you made it. And so I can trust what you say and do it. And know that these sketches you made of my building, I can build it that way, and I know it'll stand because the great architect told me how to do this thing. And it's going to stand up against the wind and the rain. And so he built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came. And the winds that blew and beat on that house, all that stuff happened, but it didn't fall because he acted on truth and he had built it on a foundation of rock. But then look at the flip side. Let's look at this other guy. It says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. You see, there's a choice. It's that easy. It comes down to a choice. You can sit here tonight and you can hear words of truth. You can go to Sunday school and hear your Sunday school teacher teach you words of truth. You go to Sunday morning service and hear your pastor talk about words of truth from the Bible. And you can hear and hear and hear. Great. But it still comes down to a choice. You will either be the guy who heard it and did something, or you'll be that guy or girl who hears it and does nothing. He says, and does not do them. You look at your relationships and say, God, I want to do it my way. God, this is more fun. This is more pleasurable. I'd rather do it my way than your way. I know what you're saying. I understand, but God, I'm not going to do it. That's this guy. And it says that you'll be like a foolish man. You won't be wise. You'll be foolish. Who built his house on the sand. Have you ever played Jenga before? Any of you guys play Jenga? You know what Jenga is? That little game with a little blocks. And, you know, once you start, like, it's not too bad at the beginning, right? The beginning is pretty easy. You can pull out a couple blocks. But then, like, once you start to get quite a few blocks pulled near the bottom and you start running out, what happens? Well, it falls, but it starts to do, like, the whole, and everybody's like, ah! And they're, like, dancing with the Jenga thing because you think it's actually going to hold it up, and you're like, no, don't move. But you have no superpowers, so you can't make it stay. But the deal is that the more you pull out on the bottom, the worse the foundation is. So what happens? Eventually, you put that block on there, and boom, the whole thing falls. It doesn't have a good foundation. And some of us are playing Jenga with our lives. But your life's not a game. You're playing Jenga because you know the truth. You've heard it. Your parents have told it to you. You've heard it at church. You have Sunday school teachers and other people that are pouring into you, telling you the truth, and they're begging you, listen and do. Don't stop at the listening. Don't keep pulling blocks out thinking I can make it one more. You know, because that's the point of the game. I could do one more, right? One more. Let's see how good I am and how many blocks I can really pull out at the bottom. Until eventually it's going to collapse. It's inevitable. That's how the game ends, right? You don't play a game of Jenga where the thing doesn't fall. It's not over until it falls. That's not how you want your life to be. You want to be able to look at your life and say, when you get to the end, I am truly blessed because the wisdom of God has directed my decisions and I've built this thing on solid rock, not on sand like this guy. I'm not playing Jenga with my life. It says the rains fell. And the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house. Same exact thing as this guy who built it on rock. Same temptations, the same pain, the same difficulties, the same sin. All of it came. No difference. And sometimes we think if I'm a good person, you know, I go to church and I do my thing, like I'll be exempt from this. This won't apply to me. That's for the people who, like, they're really bad. You know, they're doing drugs and they're doing all this other stuff over here and stealing things from 7-Eleven or whatever. Like, that's those people. I'm not in that crowd. But you see, the same thing happened to both sets of people. It didn't matter if you were quote unquote good or not. The difference isn't in the problem. They both have the same problems. The difference is in the solution. We're going to face the same things, all of us, across the board, whether you're a believer or you're an unbeliever in Jesus. Whether you're a believer who's really living it out or you're a believer who's just like, you know, just kind of doing my thing, but I'm saved. Wherever you are across that whole spectrum tonight, this wisdom applies to you. For some of us, it means I need to surrender my heart to Jesus and actually know him. I need to be saved tonight. Because without Jesus, you can't have any wisdom, just like we said earlier. That's your first step. And some of us, it's like, man, Rob, well, I've been saved, but I'm not living it. I'm not like making these choices the way I know God would have me do that. Well, your step tonight is to say, Lord, I'm willing to start building a new foundation. Help me tear this one down and build a completely new foundation for me here. It's not in the problem, it's in the solution. We all have the same problems, but who will you go to find the solution to those problems? Will you run to the world like we talked about last week and listen to the media or other people who have no idea what they're talking about, but they're willing to give you all sorts of bad advice? Or will you go to the source of truth? Will you listen to see what God says and actually act on it? Actually do something about it. Now this guy, he made the second choice. He built his house on sand. He made his own choices. He forget wisdom. And his house fell. His life broke. And it was a great fall. Everything collapsed around him. And I could sit up here tonight and tell you story after story of people that I know and some that I really love whose lives ended up like this because they built their lives on sand. They didn't listen to God's truth and they didn't act on it. And they're looking around them and their lives are broken and their families are broken and their kids don't even love them and talk to them or call them ever because they want nothing to do with them. And they've lost their jobs and they've lost everything and they're sitting there going, my life is in absolute shambles. Why? What'd you build it on? Did you build it on truth? Did you make your choices and your decisions by going, God, what do you want me to do from here? Were you willing to make the hard call when God was like, listen, this is what you need to do. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult to give that up, but guess what? That's what you got to do. Was your response, no way, God, that's too hard. I like that too much. Or was it, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, it's done. I will do. I won't just hear, but I will act on those things. Foundations are really, really important. Sometimes even things that don't look like they could stand can stand it. Can you guys flip through some of those pictures I have? Some of these buildings are pretty awesome. Like, look at that. Like, does that look like that should be standing up? No, it's upside down church looking thingamajig. Like, how is that thing standing? Look at the next one. How is that thing not falling over? Can you tell me, like, what? How about this one? What is this one right here? That's pretty awesome, all right? Not as cool as the other ones, but pretty awesome. There are so many buildings, if you just Google online, you'll find all sorts of crazy buildings like that that don't look like they should be standing. It's like, how is that mess standing up? It had a really good architect who came along and built a really awesome foundation. And you can't see it. It's not like you can really see the foundation there. But you know that that thing wouldn't even be able to be standing right there unless it has an awesome foundation that's holding it up. You have the best architect who loves you so much, who's willing to look at your life and say, look, because you might be here tonight and you're like, Rob, man, my building already fell. I know junior high kids your age whose buildings have already crumbled. I don't think you're too young for this. I know too many of you, not you, but people like that. And they come in and they're crying like, my building is crumbled. Okay. It's not over for you. You know what you do? Yeah, you messed up, but you go, God, listen, you're the great architect. I need you to start rebuilding this from ground floor up. Help me start to rebuild my life tonight. Give me a good solid foundation. Let me get rid of the sand and start building on rock tonight, God. Help me rebuild. Because we have an architect that can make things stand that you would never believe. He can take a mess and make it so incredible if you're willing to go, God, I need your wisdom in my life and in my relationships. Help me not just hear you, Father. Help me to actually do these things. And there's a really smart guy. I don't know if he was, I guess he was smart. He was a lot smarter than me, but he was really godly too. That's the good part. His name's Spurgeon. Anybody ever heard of Spurgeon? I'm going to say that a lot because I want you to know of like really awesome guys that like have preached the word. Spurgeon was a really godly guy and he said this, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. So I'll tell you what, you can be the smartest person in the world. You could be Stephen Hawking. You guys know who that dude is? Stephen Hawking is like the great like physicist guy who thinks he's got the whole universe figured out. Most people believe he really does. He's that smart. You could be that smart and have all the knowledge in the world and not have wisdom. You can be a big fool. Stephen Hawking is a guy who wrote a book saying, I've just proved the fact mathematically and scientifically that there is a God. He wrote this book. He wouldn't say God of the Bible, but he said there is a God. A little bit later, he comes out and he writes another book and goes, but he can't have any sort of personality. He can't be any sort of God that you would know him as, like from Scripture. I take all that back. A dude who's this close, who's smarter than probably all of us put together, unless there's some geniuses I don't know about in this room. And yet, he missed it. He's looking at it right in his face, but he misses it. And some of us are just trying, we're thinking like about our lives right now, and we're like, man, this is what I want to be, this is where I want to live, this is what I want to own and what I want to have and who I'm going to be married to. Are you stopping for a minute before you start to think about those decisions and go, God, I'm not going to tell you what I want. I want you to tell me what I need. And I want to start building this life block by block on your foundation of wisdom. I'm not going to just hear you. God, I'm really going to do it. Here's my prayer for you guys tonight. I pray that you take this truth. And that for just a minute, will you close your eyes? Just a minute as you have your eyes closed. Will you seriously just talk to God for a second, talk to yourself for a second and go, am I actually acting on the truth that I hear? Take it beyond just relationships. Take it beyond just dating. How's your heart with God? Am I acting on it or am I just hearing it? Are you here tonight and you have that broken life already? Your house already crumbled? It's not too late. Will you just talk to God and go, Lord, help me rebuild this thing? And if you're here tonight and you're like, man, I don't even know Jesus, will you find a leader once we're done talking here? We'd love to talk to you, any one of us adults. Stop us and ask us how you can know who Jesus Christ is. How you can start a real foundation for your life. I'm going to pray with you. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you that you care about our lives. You care about the details. You care about the decisions. You care about our hearts, our relationships. And Father, we pray that you give us wisdom. God, that we not just hear the truth, but God, that we do something about it and we respond and apply it. Lord, that we seek you before ourselves or any other advice. And that you build our lives for us, God, block by block as we trust and have faith in you. And you build it on solid ground. We love you. Help us to leave here different. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.